Hello dear listener, it's James here again. I didn't say hello dear listener properly, sorry about that. I'm down in my studio just after 7 o'clock in the evening, and I did promise that I would let you know what happened with the Virgin Media story, because I'm sure you were on tenterhooks, figuratively, if not literally, if not at all. I was reminded, actually, by a chap who I've just started listening to some of his audiobooks, and I would recommend them to you as well, because they are insightful and very beautifully worded. Nick Holloway Vox is the username. Hello, Nick. Thank you very much for your response. Because he had been listening to my and documented these boos, both of which sort of were, I don't know, there was some synchronicity in them, even though they were a couple of days apart, and I completely appreciate Christian's absolute despair in the way that his furniture got delivered at 6:30 in the morning. Heavens to Murgatroyd. But yes, it is all about the big corporations. I will talk about Nick's angle on things after I've finished the story, which is a brief one because, as you might expect, I was waiting for the manager to call me back, and by 11:30, which was a good 2 hours later, nothing. So I rang back up and it turned out to be Jennifer again, who had the same extremely sore throat. I'm sure she had laryngitis. I wonder if Virgin Media deliberately employ people whose voices are on the way out so that the people who are calling up to complain just go, "Now, just don't worry, just save your voice. I'll sort it out myself, or I'll just put up with it." It's a good business thing. Actually, I was considering about the way the businesses work, and I do wonder how many companies don't necessarily encourage incompetence or lack of response, but they kind of don't, they will allow something to be, to a customer to have to call up twice to be able to deal with something, because sometimes a customer just won't end up calling back again. I wonder if that's a sort of a well-known and often practiced business trick. I wouldn't do it. And I guess, as Christian said, if you've got a local company, you're just round the corner from them, and you can go in and shout at someone's head if you need to, rather than some disembodied voice on the phone having navigated a maze of menus. So I said to her, "Do you know, I was waiting for a manager to call." And of course she said the obvious thing, didn't the manager call you? I bit my tongue. And she said, "Well, I'll just have a quick word with the manager." And she came back after another. I think they've only got 3 songs on their on hold tape, which is just, again, really annoying. And I wonder if it's intended to put people off. And said, "Sorry, nothing we can do about it. All we can do is reschedule it. When do you want it done by?" I said, "Next, a week on Monday would be great, because, you know, I'm off work and all's well." And she's, "Well, I can't do that. I can't do anything till the 13th. Well, I can't do anything till the week of the 9th. And it was a Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. I said, "Well, I can't do any of those because I'm working. She was, "I can do the 13th, which is a Saturday." So that's Saturday the 13th, which is from the 25th of July to the 30th. That must be 2.5-3 weeks hence. And of course, by that time, my Sky subscription will have expired. And you know, I'll be having one of those major first world problems in that my premium television subscription will have expired before the new one starts. Which as soon as she said that, I just put it all in perspective for me. I said, I just can't be bothered with any of this. There are bigger issues going on around the world than for me to deal with this. But of course, I engaged with Virgin Media on Twitter, and they said, "Send us an email with the details and we'll look into it for you." So I wrote the standard complaint letter, which if you've read the books on complaint letters, you list the things, what they've done wrong, and then you list the things you want them to do. And we'll see what comes out of it from there. But I did mention it, in perspective, it's not world changing. It's not saving anybody's life. But what it is doing is it's not ruining anybody's day, and small rays of sunshine, small acts of positive thing, they do so much for a company's reputation. And if they can sort it out, well, I'll be telling my friends and family, and then they get some more business out of it. So it's up to them. Oh dear. Anyway, Nick, very very interesting was what Nick was saying, and I would urge you to listen to it because I've only got a few seconds left. But he was saying that he operates on the other side of the desk, answering the phone to people, and on some days when he's not really feeling up to it, he can just let the bureaucratic system take its, run the script. And so the customers end up either frustrated or not getting what they want, or not relating to him and him not helping anybody, just taking through the whole computer says no system, which is what exactly happened to me. Anyway, it got me to thinking, because it was a relevant point, but it also causes Nick to stand out somewhat, because I'm sure there are people who work at call centres who all they ever do is work to the system, and they never put any of their own personality into it. And I guess you've got to be a fairly creative, intelligent, enlightened person to want to do any more than that. And you kind of wonder how long you can stick a service desk environment like that without wanting to move on or move up or achieve something else. Which raised another point in an earlier Boo of Nick's, which listen to his old stuff. The stuff from the last few days, very interesting, very thoughtful. Don't agree with it all, because I think there are some bits that are missing, but I won't say any more on that, because I know I've already gone over the 5 minutes. Briefly to finish, though, I would say that part of the key to this, I think, is building the relationships. And unless it, again, what was in the way of me having the relationship or getting to know or digging deeper than the pure machinery of it, and it's not too hard to sort of, not wrong foot, but move to the point where you're both acknowledging each other as human beings, if you choose to do that. And it's a case of retaining control of the conversation and making sure that they have the same understanding as you do, even if they are utterly incapable of doing anything about it. It's not sort of trying to make them cry and say, I really wish there was something I could do. But, it's a case of getting them to acknowledge that you understand their situation and hopefully they understand yours. And I think actually that's what got in the way with this whole laryngitis thing. I wonder if it is a business thing. Did I mention, this is the second time I've had to record this, and so I don't know what I've said before. But yes, companies employing people with laryngitis. Think about it. You know, it makes sense next time you call someone in Bangalore with their broken English and laryngitis. Yeah, then you will be thanking me. Bye for now.